I guess we can get started with this large group, but I'd like to thank everybody for coming this morning. And I understand that we have a limited amount of time, given the format this year, so about 15 minutes. So I'm going to focus on some of the highlights for the company, talk about who we are, what we do, what we've done, and where we're going, and touch on some of the most recent highlights for 2016 and what the next year looks like. My name's Tim Brazy. I'm the CEO of Landmark Infrastructure. Landmark is a publicly traded master limited partnership. We are a real estate infrastructure acquisitions company. But unlike traditional infrastructure companies, we don't buy what you would normally expect, airports, toll roads, bridges. We buy the land rights underneath what we refer to as micro-infrastructure in the wireless communication industry, the outdoor advertising industry, and renewable power generation. So think cell towers and rooftop sites, billboards, and renewable projects like solar or wind projects. We went public 2 years ago. In fact, when you dial it back, our management team created the industry 15 years ago. Our sponsor commenced operations 7 years ago, and we went public in November of 2014. We're a small cap MLP at the moment, about $350 million market cap, current yield of a little over 9%. Most recently, our distribution is $1.40 on an annualized basis, but that represents the eighth consecutive quarter of distribution increases, which I think is a tremendous accomplishment given the challenges in the MLP sector over the last 2 years. When we went out in November of 14, we were just about at the peak of oil prices before the significant decline, and yet Landmark has continued to grow, continued to deliver to its unit holder base. We are one of the few non-energy, non-oil and gas, non-natural resource MLPs without any commodity exposure or CapEx, so a little bit unusual in terms of the corporate format, but a real opportunity going forward. In 2016, we completed five separate drop-down acquisitions for about 600 assets and $300 million. We currently have over 2,000 tenant sites. That's triple the size that we were at the IPO. So we've tripled the size of the company in terms of sites as well as revenue. And as I said, we've continued to increase distributions since the initial public offering 2 years ago. In terms of milestones, this chart is probably a little difficult to see. Everything above the line relates to drop-down acquisitions as well as capital markets transactions. We've done a couple of secondary commons in 2015, and then most recently in October of 2016, a couple of preferred offerings last year in April and August. One of the highlights I'll point out is our UEP transaction. That's a unique offering we have in the market. We use units in the MLP to actually acquire assets. One of the challenges we have in increasing our acquisition, or really an opportunity increasing our acquisition pace, is being able to offer individual property owners an alternative form of currency rather than a lump sum buyout, which is, you know, the vast majority of what we do. So we actually created a program where we can give property owners units in the publicly traded MLP rather than cash. That provides them with some very significant benefits that they wouldn't get from a traditional buyout. And then you see the various quarterly distributions below the line from the initial quarterly distribution in January of 2015. In terms of what we do, this slide shows the nature of what it is we acquire. The dashed yellow line underneath either the tower or the billboard represents the real property interest that we acquire. So we don't buy the tower and we don't buy the dirt. We buy the land rights underneath the asset that gives us control of the location and entitles us to receive the long-term escalating rent from the tenant in that particular location. So you think about a traditional real estate investment where there's renovation or repositioning of that asset, there's significant capital expenditures that are required, you've got TIs and leasing commissions, you've got operating expenses, you have environmental liability or exposure. In our business, we're simply buying the rights that give us control of that particular location and entitles us to receive the rent. So once we acquire the position from the property owner, we're simply able to enjoy the long-term rental stream from that counterparty. So the investment thesis for LMRK is long-lived, escalating, effectively triple net lease income from a credit-rated counterparty like a Verizon or an AT&T or a Crown Castle under truly what is a mission-critical piece of infrastructure, an essential operating asset. The tenants have to pay the rent to be able to maintain long-term occupancy on a strategic asset. For the lump sum payment that we would make to an individual property owner, we get two things in return. One is an assignment of the existing lease. We don't do greenfield development, so these assets are already up and running for an extended period of time before we engage with the property owner. We get an assignment of the existing lease, which including options to extend runs about 20 years. And we also get a recorded ground lease easement underneath that asset for an average of, across the portfolio, about 80 years. And so once we buy out the position, for the next 20 years, we're going to receive the rent that you would have gotten otherwise had you not sold the position to us. But at the end of 20 years, when the tenant wants to renew or extend the lease, they don't go to the owner of the shopping center, the pastor of the church who has the property with the tower and the steeple, or the couple that has the backyard that happens to, you know, be next to the freeway and is ideal for a billboard. They come to Landmark because we still own the rights for an additional 60 years in that example. So what we're buying are real property interests, real estate. It's depreciable over the term of the easement. It qualifies for 1031 exchange treatment. And also, obviously, REIT and MLP qualified, which is how we made the transition to the public company. The markets that we target are absolutely huge. They're growing significantly, incredibly fragmented, which is part of the challenge and the opportunity for the sponsor, and very, very underpenetrated. Across the United States today, there are upwards of 400,000 locations that we target. Since we pioneered the industry 15 years ago, less than 10% of the market has been acquired, so a very small percentage. 400,000 locations probably represents in the neighborhood of $120 to $130 billion of capturable value. The challenge, of course, is that they're primarily owned by individual landlords, who have absolutely positively nothing in common other than the fact that they own an asset that we would like to buy. So you're literally talking about individual property owners that happen to have a rooftop site on a building that they own. And, you know, we've done over 100 deals with churches where they have the tower in the steeple, backyard opportunities with retired couples that have an outdoor display. So a lot of what the sponsor does is focused on engaging with the individual property owners. Over the course of a 12-month period, we'll meet with over 15,000 individual landlords. We'll negotiate between 3,000 and 4,000 separate deals to close somewhere in the neighborhood of 700 to 800 acquisitions. So it's a constant focus on customer engagement, having the discussion with the property owners to show them a way of monetizing a position that they thought or perhaps didn't quite appreciate had the kind of value that we're talking about. And in many cases, the sum of the parts is greater than the whole. Actually selling the position to us allows them to do something with the commercial building they might own with a lender or a buyer, who might not give them, you know, full benefit of the rental stream on that rooftop because it's non-core, you know, rent roll. These industries are growing significantly. You know, we find it fascinating to recognize that just new wireless sites in the United States today, going online this year, is more than double the number of our number of sites that we own in our existing portfolio. So, just looking at it from a back of the envelope way, we would never catch up to the number of assets that exist or come online during the year. There are so many of these sites. And really, all three of the industries are going through a revolution, not an evolution. When you think about wireless, outdoor, and renewables, obviously the connectedness of everything, the Internet of Things, the demand for capacity and coverage in the United States and worldwide is virtually unlimited. We're on the forefront of that and play a significant role in being able to acquire the land rights underneath assets in that particular industry. In outdoor, the conversion to, you know, delivery of digital content, is a huge area of growth. And so as we go out to acquire the land rights, we look for target digital boards and are involved in transaction where there's conversion from the static to the digital side of the ledger. And renewables will become an increasingly important part of the power equation for the United States and worldwide. Those assets are similar to the assets that we're acquiring in wireless and outdoor, but represent some of the most stable, most creditworthy tenants in all of what we do. The portfolio today is over 2,000 tenant sites across the country. The tenants that you see on the far right-hand side are the names that you would expect to see, all of them Tier 1 tenants, naturally. And this slide highlights some of the partnership benefits. Stable cash flow, predictable distributions, multiple drivers of growth for the company. These are long-lived assets, as I mentioned, very high occupancy and renewal rates. They're strategic locations, leased to those Tier 1 tenants. Very, very difficult to relocate or replicate. They're primarily located in major population centers. One of the advantages of working in industries where the average ticket size is in the $200,000 to $300,000 range is that you end up with significant diversification when you have a portfolio of over 2,000 tenant sites. In terms of growth, the leases have contractual escalators built in of 2.5% to 3%. We also get additional rent increases through lease modifications. So, for example, when there's an upgrade in technology on a rooftop from 3G to 4G, the tenants don't necessarily have the unilateral right to change out the equipment on that rooftop, and so they need to come to the owner of the position, Landmark, for permission to do that. That's an opportunity for us to talk to the tenant about expanding the permitted use, leasing additional space, increasing the rent because now they're going to have additional equipment on the steel. We are a strategic partner of the tenants, I would say, and that our job in working with the tenants is to preserve long-term occupancy on a strategic location. The tenants own a very, very small percentage of the land rights underneath their own assets. It's not an efficient way of deploying capital, and so if they can work in partnership with a professional investment firm like Landmark, they can achieve some strategic objectives, piggybacking off of our desire to own the real property rights. In addition, in terms of the multiple growth drivers, the sponsor, Landmark Dividend, is absolutely aligned and committed to the growth of the partnership. We have another 700 assets under management with Dividend in private funds that The sponsor has indicated it will offer to the partnership for a drop-down acquisition, and the sponsor owns a 15% interest in the form of subordinate units in the MLP. Given the amount of time, I will take a moment to talk about the tenancy. Here you can see the mix between outdoor advertising, the communication infrastructure segment, both between tower companies and the wireless carriers, and the renewable power generation. We're about 65 to 70% on the wireless side. Renewables, it continues to increase, but is a relatively small percentage of our portfolio. That's actually an opportunity for us to create long-term relationships with project developers. As I said, the tenancy and the quality on the renewable power generation side is probably the best among the three industries that we target, because we're buying the land in those cases underneath typically large solar projects with long-term fixed contract power purchase agreements to a credit-rated utility. So the value of the land is one-tenth of the value of the project in total, and the ground lease rent that we receive is 3 to 5% of the operating revenue of the project. So at the end of the third quarter last year, we acquired a little over 4,000 acres in California, under probably $1 billion worth of solar projects, solar including the panels, the infrastructure, the transmission lines, the interconnects. You know, the projects themselves are extremely complex and quite large, and as I said, the rent that they pay Landmark is a fraction of the operating revenue for the project itself. The growth for the partnership really comes from four or five different directions. You know, the partnership has contractual escalators in the leases themselves. It's able to buy assets from the sponsor directly. It can buy projects or assets directly from third-party acquisitions, do a transaction direct with a property owner. It also has the ability to buy assets that are sitting in the private funds that the sponsor has, which are tailored to be dropped down into the partnership. So in addition to the organic growth, again, not requiring any capital expenditures whatsoever and lease modification income, we can acquire assets directly from the sponsor and directly from third parties. One of the advantages, again, is what we call the unit exchange program. I'm going to flip to this page. This is the third bullet point, the alternative currency. The vast majority of people who decline to sell their assets to us decline because they don't need the money or they don't want to pay tax on a cash sale. Understandable. But what if I'm able to offer you, instead of cash, stock in a public company? Now you've got a tax advantage contribution to a partnership, so you don't you avoid the taxable gain. You are receiving fair value for your assets in the form of unit consideration. You're now diversified because instead of being beholden to a single lease in your backyard, you're backed by literally thousands of assets over time in the public company. You still look toward current income through the quarterly distributions that the MLP makes. And importantly, you've got a liquidity option. You know, at a time and a place and an amount of your own choosing, you can you can take that those units and actually turn them into obviously sell them on the open market. So that combination of benefits, we think, is a strong argument for landlords. We launched that program in the middle of last year. We've gotten good traction with that. We expect that that opportunity to grow over time. We are the only company in our industry that has the ability to offer those units in the structure that I've described, but it's a real benefit for the property owners. Let me pop back to, in terms of last year and where we're going this year, I talked a little bit about the up to 600 assets that we acquired for about $300 million last year. Over the course of the last 2 years, we've delivered 10% growth on average. We're guiding to another $200 million of acquisitions in 2017 and another 10% growth in distributions. And strategically, we'll continue to focus on the three industries that we target, somewhat of an expansion of assets within those industries. When we started in the wireless, for example, over time we've looked at small cells, fiber, DAS networks, all related to wireless infrastructure that the tenants and the tower companies are deploying worldwide. So we'll grow asset classes within those industries. We started to expand internationally. We opened up, the sponsor opened up business in Australia in March of 2015. We'd actually been in Australia for a couple of years prior to that. So between some limited efforts in Australia and beginning to look at Western Europe, we'll continue to expand the footprint of the company. And in particular, we're looking for joint venture opportunities where we can partner with operating companies that have domain expertise and experience and relationships in their particular field, where we can bring capital and have those operating partners leverage the expertise of the sponsor as a way of continuing to expand what Landmark does. But, you know, just based on the market as it stands today, just domestically, I think the prospects for the company today are as good, if not better, than they've ever been. So with that, I'll take questions, sir.
You spent $200 million.
Mm-hmm. On the $200 million, George, you want to join us? I'm going to introduce you to George Doyle, our CFO, and direct your financial questions to George. He's asking about the EBITDA, the acquisition, the rent for the $200 million that we acquired in the past. Are you talking about this coming year or the acquisitions for the? Well, we're typically looking at a cap rate on the acquisition of about 7% for 2017 on average. Depends on the nature of the acquisition, the industry that we're in, whether it's domestic or international. Yields are somewhat higher overseas, but we take into account tax drag, of course, and but on average, about 7%. Yeah. Yes?
A couple of questions that may be related and maybe on the theme of secondary offerings.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, sir. I'm having trouble hearing you, and I'm not sure George can hear you either. So perhaps if you could, I don't know if there's a... Okay. Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.